Today on The Winning Walk with author and pastor Dr. Ed Young.
What if you had the opportunity to talk with God for 1 minute? I think I would ask him a lot of questions, beginning with the little word, why. Oh, Lord, tell me why. Job is Phi Beta Kappa in asking God that very important question as he battled suffering.
It's a question almost as old as time itself. What's the point of suffering? Welcome to this Monday edition of The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, Dr. Young begins a new series about the life of Job, a man who suffered perhaps more than any other man in history. But as you'll see, Job's suffering wasn't pointless, just like your suffering isn't pointless. So stay with us for an exciting and gripping look into the life of Job and God's plan for his and your suffering. It's coming up after this break, right here on The Winning Walk. Once again, welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, we're starting a new series about the life of Job called Overcoming Tough Times, and Dr. Young is in the studio to answer a few questions as we begin today. Dr. Young, Job's story always brings up the age-old question of why bad things happen to good people. How do you respond to this question when people ask?
You know, I like reverse it. What amazes me is how good things happen to bad people. But bad things do happen to good people, and we interpret them in the here and now. We miss the whole purpose. Every time a challenge, a painful situation comes my way, whether it's in my immediate family, whether it's in my church family, and suffering comes inexplicably, I always say, look up. Very simple. Look up. Mm-hmm. God's up to something. And when I do that, you know, so many times I may not have all the answers as to why and why now and why me and why this one. But when I look up, I know God is doing something. So suffering, first of all, I think, Wayne, gets our full court attention. It just cries out to us. And we listen and we look up and say, God, is there something I need to deal with in my life? And then we look up and say, God, I don't know what that is, but you're up to something. Teach me, show me, lead me through this valley so that there will be meaning and eternal ramifications. And that happens so many, many times. So I say to everyone, when the bottom falls out of your life, look up, wait, listen, be still. God's up to something.
That's just about all we can do in those situations, isn't it? We're going to start the message here momentarily, but, you know, when suffering comes, it is tempting to think that maybe God has forgotten us or doesn't love us anymore, but nothing could be further from the truth. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Oh, that he loves us with a love will never let us go. Now, sometimes we have to be honest. Suffering comes because of our own sin, our own indifference, our own rebellion, our own actions, our own poor choices. So we can't make poor choices and say, well, I don't understand why this happened to me. Poor choices lead to pain and suffering many times. But I'm talking about inexplicable suffering. We don't understand it. There seems to be no rhyme and reason for it. And as we study the book of Job, I think we'll begin to get insight as to how God operates in the lives of so many individuals. And that, I believe, will give us a clear meaning of the purpose of suffering.
Thanks, Dr. Young. That's a great way to start us off in our study of Job, especially as we look at today's subject, the purpose of suffering. Here's Dr. Young.
It was in Topeka, Kansas. A guy was going to visit churches all across America and write a book. While in Topeka, he saw on the side of a wall in this church a golden telephone. It says, for $10,000, 1 minute call to God. He thought that was unusual. He moved from Kansas on across to California, and he saw another church, golden telephone, $10,000, 1 minute conversation with God. He went to Missouri, another church, golden telephone, 1 minute, $10,000, conversation with God. He went to New York City, another golden telephone, $10,000, dropped down to Florida, another golden telephone, $10,000, came to the deep south, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas. He got in Austin, Texas, and he went in a church in Austin, and he saw on the wall a golden telephone he'd seen in churches across the country. And on this call, it says, 1 minute conversation with God, 35 cents. He couldn't understand it. He went over and got an usher. He said, what is this? I've been in churches across the country. 1 minute conversation with God is $10,000. Here in Austin, it is 35 cents. What is going on? He said, don't you know where you are? You're in Texas. This is God's country. It's a local call. What if you had the opportunity to talk with God for 1 minute? I thought about that. I think I would ask him a lot of questions, beginning with the little word, why? Why me? Why her? Why him? Why now? Why? Oh, Lord, tell me why. We're beginning to study the book of Job. Job is Phi Beta Kappa in asking God that very important question as he battled suffering. He said, why? Now, I want you to notice that I planned this study of Job, 42 chapters, 5 weeks, 8 months ago. Somebody said, oh, your preaching sure is timely. It's God's timing, not mine. But we're dealing with suffering. It's not suffering that happens to bad people. It's suffering that happens to good people. When bad people do not suffer, that bugs me. But when good people suffer, that really upsets me, and it upsets you as well. And that's what we're dealing with. Job, one of the heroic figures in the Bible. By the way, there are not many heroes today. Have you noticed? There are not many heroines today. Every time we think, boy, we found somebody we can look up to, we can admire, they've got it together, they have integrity, it seems like we discover in just a little while they're clay feet and how they're not all that we thought they were. This is true of biblical personalities. Read about all the characters in the Bible. I mean, we see everything about them, and there are few that come out heroic. Ruth, Esther, Joseph, Daniel, and certainly the guy we're going to be studying for the next few weeks, Job. It's a fabulous book in the Bible. By the way, in all probability, it's the oldest book in the Bible. You could take the book of Job and take it out of the Bible, and you could put it alongside any great works of literature that have ever been penned, and Job would hold its own. It's a lyrical epic poem, along with Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. It's written in a compelling way. It's almost like you're going to see an opera. I've been to a German opera, an Italian opera. And, you know, I didn't understand what was going on, but they had notes in English explaining the movement of the music and the drama that I was seeing. And this is what we have in the book of Job. The first part of Job is prose. The middle part is that powerful poem, and the end is prose. So we begin to understand it. By the way, Job was a real person. Lord Byron said that truth is strange, but truth is always stranger than fiction. And that is literally true. And so we meet this guy, Job, a fabulous guy. He lived in the period of the patriarchs, in all probability a contemporary of Abraham. We'll read he is from Uz. We don't know where the land of Oz, the land of Uz. We don't know where it is. We know perhaps it's in Arabia. We know that Job evidently knew something about Egypt because there's a reference to the pyramids there in the book of Job. So as we approach Job for the next 5 weeks, we're going to learn a great deal about suffering because Job, I think, is the greatest word on suffering.
Dr. Ed Young with his message titled The Purpose of Suffering. And today we're introducing a booklet from Dr. Young that will be featured for the next 2 weeks. It's called Hope in the Storms of Life, and it will help turn your trials into triumphs. So give us a call to request your copy. It's our gift to thank you for your financial support of The Winning Walk. Call 1-800-350-WALK. Again, that's 1-800-350-9255. And there's more teaching ahead from Dr. Young.
What kind of guy was Job? First of all, we see that he was a godly man, upright, blameless. Not that he was perfect, but when he would do something wrong, he would confess to God and keep a clean conscience. He feared God. He was a worshiper.
That's coming up after this quick break. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. A quick reminder, we'd like to send you a copy of Dr. Young's Hope in the Storms of Life booklet. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Winning Walk broadcast. Learn how to weather the storms of life in triumph when you call and request a copy of the booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. Our number is 1-800-350-WALK. Again, that's 1-800-350-9255. And now here's Dr. Young to continue his message, The Purpose of Suffering.
Let me begin by reading just the first few verses of Job to introduce you to this guy. And then I will not read all 22 verses. We're going to look at chapter 1. I'm going to read the first few verses, and then I'm going to give you Young's translation of the latter part as we go about in our biblical teaching. Job, chapter number 1, verse number 1 following. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen. How many oxen would that be? 5,000 yoke. How many oxen? 1,000. That's right. 15 female donkeys. By the way, did you know that female donkeys were a prized possession this period of time because their milk, what was like caviar, it was the foremost delicacy of the age. Milk from female donkeys. How many of you knew that? Yeah. See, you're already ahead. 500 female donkeys and very many servants, and that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This is Job, the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting have completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God. Remember that phrase. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. The book opens, and there was a man. What kind of guy was Job? First of all, we see that he was a godly man. Did you read that? Upright. Feared God. blameless. Not that he was perfect, but when he would do something wrong, he would confess to God and keep a clean conscience. He feared God. He was a worshiper. A lot of people have the idea that I can pray and sing and preach and I can study God's word. And man, I am a worshiper. We can't worship him when we have dirt inside of our lives. When there's filth there, when there's unconfessed with, unrepented of sin and rebellion in our lives, you can't worship. You can go through all the motions and all the ritual, but you can't worship him. But it says Job feared God. This means he worshiped him. Oswald Chambers said that if anybody fears God, they'll not be afraid of anything else. But anybody who does not fear God, they will be fearful of everything else. Someone who fears God, not that, oh, I'm afraid of God. Oh, he might. Oh, no. Someone who, the word fear means awe, to hold in wonder, to esteem, to lift up. Job was a godly man. Godly man. That's the first thing we see in the verses I've just read. Also, Job was a wealthy man. And did you read what he had? In that day in which he lived, wealth was measured by your flock, your animals, by the number of children you had. It was measured by the number of servants that you had. And certainly, Job was the biggest big shot of all the East. He was a combination of Billy Graham and Bill Gates. I mean, he had every base covered. Look at all the sheep, all the oxen. Look at all the donkeys. Look at all the camels. By the way, the camel was the most valuable animal of all that he possessed. He was a wealthy man by anybody's standard. He was a godly man. Also, he was a great dad. You know, the greatest thing we need in morals in the 21st century are dads who are great dads. That's what we need. Job had that base covered. Here he had grown children. Did you read it carefully? Job had grown children. And by the way, that's a wonderful moment of your life. The empty nest, whoo, is great. I love kids. I love grandkids. I love my son, my 10 grandchildren. But I'm going to tell you, the empty nest is way ahead of that other period when the diaper phase and the carpool phase and all the other boo-hoo. I'm telling you, the empty nest is fabulous. Mr. and Ms. Job now had an empty nest. Their seven sons were grown. Their three daughters were grown. But Job still was the priest of the family. Did you notice that? They would have birthday celebrations and all the kids would gather together. Job would go there and lay hands on them and pray for them and offer burnt sacrifices to God, just in case, remember that phrase, one of the kids may have cursed God, even in their hearts. Maybe not literally, but just in case a kid had cursed and spoken out and displeased God, Job would offer sacrifices, remind them that they were his children, they were sons and daughters, remind them of the blessings that they had in the inheritance business, and he went there every time. It says he did it early in the morning, continuously. Boy, what a guy was Job. You know anybody better than Job? He is a great hero in the Bible. The greatest man in the East. Godly man. Wealthy man. Great dad. And now, if this were a drama or we're reading a book, we would go to the second chapter. And the curtain would be closed. And then we'd shuffle around and we'd talk and yawn and or we'd turn the next page. And then chapter number two, certainly the curtain is contracted. Whew! We're in the third heaven. We're in the throne room of God. And there is God, God Almighty, on the throne. And there all, Job says, the sons of God are gathered, the seraphim, the cherubim, the archangels, the angels, they're all gathered around the throne of God.
Purpose of Suffering. That's the title of our message today from Dr. Ed Young. For helpful resources on this subject and a variety of others, visit us online at winningwalk.org. You'll find CDs, DVDs, as well as this week's message series called Overcoming Tough Times. Go to winningwalk.org to find out more. Well, after this break, Dr. Young will continue with this study right here on The Winning Walk. Back with Dr. Ed Young and The Winning Walk. You know, trials are woven into the very fabric of life, and to help you turn your trials into triumph, we want to send you a copy of Dr. Young's booklet called Hope in the Storms of Life. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Winning Walk broadcast. So give us a call to request it at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Now, let's continue with our message, The Purpose of Suffering. Here's Dr. Young.
Here we are. The curtains are contracted, and you're in the throne room of God Himself. And then we see the first part of the book of Job. You can have a big outline of the book of Job. The first part of the book of Job, it's God and Satan talking. The second part is going to be Job and his three friends are conversing. And the third part is going to just be Job and God in the great showdown. That's the general outline of the book of Job. But when this curtain pulls, we see there that God is with all the heavenly hosts. And he looks back over there and he says, wait a minute. Who is that? It is Satan. That's right. What is Satan doing in the throne room of the Almighty? There is Satan, the fallen archangel, still beautiful, still magnificent, still powerful. And there is Satan. And Job says to him, young paraphrase, what have you been up to? What have you been up to? Satan, the accuser, the liar, slewfoot, the murderer. What have you been up to? And here we see in this particular situation, we see satanic activity. We see satanic philosophy. And we see satanic limitation. Now look at satanic activity. God says, what have you been up to, Satan? And Satan says, I've been going to and fro. I've been wandering around all over the world. And Satan can do that with supernatural power. Satan can go from Australia to the North Pole just in a blink of your eye. He said, I've been wandering around all the world. Now, God knew his agenda. Satan's agenda is to destroy. It's to thwart the plans of Almighty God and to destroy his sons and his daughters. That's his plan. That's his agenda. And he is faithful and he's continuously at that particular assignment in rebellion against Almighty. What have you been up to, Satan? I've been going to and fro, confusing, lying, deceiving, killing, taking out those who would be followers of yours or those who are followers of yours. And then God says to Satan, an amazing thing to me. He says, Satan, do you know my main man, Job?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Remember to call us and request your copy of Dr. Young's booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. It's our gift to thank you for your financial support of this program. So give us a call with your donation and request a copy. Our number, 1-800-350-WALK. One last time, that's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for spending some time with us in God's Word today. Tomorrow we'll continue with the second part of Dr. Young's message about the purpose of suffering. So tune in again Tuesday when we'll take another step here on the Winning Walk.